Reynaldo's sister, Marina, who has also been here on several occasions over the years, lives in Dominican Republic in Santo Domingo, and she is a believer, and the Lord took her home this week. So Reynaldo went down to visit her a few weeks ago to see her before she passed away, and that, of course, is Armida's daughter, and I'm not sure if they'll tell Armida or not, but pray for the family. You don't have to turn your Bibles. I just read this one verse. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplications. Attend unto me and hear me. That's our prayer. Lord, hear us. Might he receive our words of praise and worship as we stand together to sing the hymn that's on the back of your bulletin. So let's stand together. Tom?
To Christ the Lord let every tongue its noblest tribute bring. When he's the subject of the song, who can refuse to sing? Who can refuse to sing? Survey the beauties of his face and on his glories dwell. Think of the wonders of his grace, and all his victories tell, and all his victories tell. Thou hast redeemed our souls with blood, hast set the prisoners free, hast made us kings and priests to God, and we shall reign with thee, and we shall reign with thee. The whole creation join as one to bless that holy name of him who sits upon the throne and to adore the Lamb, and to adore the Lamb.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Our scripture reading is going to be located in Colossians, first chapter. We're going to read through verses 9 through 14. It's similar to the passage that Greg read in Ephesians. This is Paul's prayer for the Colossians. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And this is what we need the most. We need knowledge of his will and the wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And as we increase in the knowledge of God, that's how we become fruitful. It is parallel to knowing Christ and knowing him. Strengthen with all might. This is strength from God, according to his glorious power. It's not by our power. We have no power. All of the power comes from the Lord. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And we give thanks, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. If we can't imagine what that means yet, can we? be partakers of the inheritance, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Father God, we come before you this morning giving you thanks and praise, Father. We come before you, of course, by the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his righteousness and by his shed blood. We come before you, like our pastor Greg says, because we have nowhere else to go, Father. We are in need of you this morning. We are in need of your Spirit to fill us, to be with us, to teach us the word. Pastor Greg also needs to be full with the Spirit. We ask for that, that Christ might be glorified, that he might be magnified, Father. And we are all dependent on you to get to know Christ, to know of his glory, to know his person. We are totally dependent on you. We can go nowhere else. We also pray for those family members that have lost ones this week, Father. We pray for them. We pray for you to comfort, that your Spirit might comfort them, and they may seek you. They might become closer to you, that you might use it for your honor and glory, Father God. Once again, we thank you for the privilege of listening to your word, and we ask for your Spirit to teach us about Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together once again. We'll sing hymn number 23 from their Spiral Gospel Hymns hymn book, number 23.
Pass me not, O gracious Father, sinful wretched though I be, though you might in truth condemn me, let your mercy fall on me. Love of God so everlasting, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and saving, magnify them all in me. Pass me not, O blessed Savior, let me hear your gracious call. I'm a guilty, helpless sinner, Savior, at your feet I fall. Love of God so everlasting, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and saving, magnify them all in me. Pass me not, O mighty Spirit, you can cause the dead to live. Speak the word of saving power, give me faith and make me live. Love of God so everlasting, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and saving, magnify them all in me. Pass me not, a poor lost sinner, if you will, you can save me. Reach down with your hand of mercy, saving others, Lord, save me. Love of God so everlasting, love blood of Christ, so rich and free, grace of God, so strong and saving, magnify them all in me.
Please be seated.
Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 54? Psalm 54. I've titled this message the same as the first two words of that psalm: Save me. Save me. There are three simple questions I want to try to answer in this message. The first one is, when do I need to be saved? When do I need to be saved? The second question is, how can I be saved? And the third question is, what do I need to be saved from? When do I need to be saved? How can I be saved? And what do I need to be saved from? Well, the short answer to the first question is right now. Right this very minute. That's when I need to be saved. Is that when you need to be saved? Right now. I can't live off of yesterday's manna. I've tried. I've tried living off of the experiences that I've had with God in the past. And it's like, you remember the manna that came from heaven in the wilderness, and not believing God for today's manna, they kept a portion for the next day, and when they went to use it, it was full of worms. You ever eat food that's got worms in it? Well, you probably have food poisoning. You just didn't see them. You didn't know it. But that's exactly what eating worms would do, wouldn't it? Make you sick. You try to live off of yesterday's manna, you're going to get spiritually sick. I don't care how wonderful your experience was with God. You can't have any confidence in it, can you? You look back to those experiences and you wonder, well, Lord, I can't rest the hope of my immortal soul on that experience. I've got to have a fresh measure of manna today. That's why the Lord said, give us this day our daily bread. When do I need to be saved? Here's the passage. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. You and I, whether we recognize it or not, need to be saved right now. That's why Peter, when he spoke of coming to Christ, did not speak of it as a past experience, but said, to whom coming? Right now. That's when I need to be saved. Now, I've talked to folks who've been before and said, well, you know, I don't need to be saved. I've already gotten saved. And by that, what they mean is they're hanging on to an experience that they had and trusting that experience for their salvation. And that causes great doubt in my mind as to whether or not there was anything to that experience. I had someone say to me one time, well, if we've been saved in the covenant of grace before eternity past, when Christ as the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and God already wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, then what do we need to be saved for? It's already done. If the Lord Jesus Christ actually accomplished the salvation of his people, as you say he did, and he did, then why do I need to be saved? That's already been done. It's already accomplished. Well, that kind of thinking is using worldly wisdom and logic to trump the revelation of God's word. It's also a denial of every believer's experience. And it is evidence that a person that would talk like that is devoid of the Spirit of God and does not believe the Word of God. Let me read you just a few places where David, a man after God's own heart, cried out for God to save him. Psalm chapter 3, verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God." Psalm 6, verse 4, "Save me for thy mercy's sake." Psalm 7, verse 1, "Save me, Lord, from all them that persecute me." You know anything about the persecution of your own flesh and your own sin? You know your need to be saved. Psalm 22, verse 21, "Save me," David prayed, "from the lion's mouth." Oh, he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, isn't he? You've ever had any experience with him, you know you have no power over him. Lord, you're going to have to save me. Psalm 31, verse 16, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." Psalm 57, verse 3, "Save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." You ever fear being swallowed up? Peter had that fear, didn't he? Peter, walking on the water, took his eyes off of Christ and looked at the wind and the waves and began to drown. And he cried, "Lord, save me before I be swallowed up. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity." Psalm 59, verse 2, "Save me from the bloody men. Save me, Lord." Now that's just the first 59 Psalms out of 150 where David cries for God to save him. So to say that, well, my salvation's already been taken care of, I don't need to worry about it, I don't need to ask for it, I don't need to pray for it, I don't need to think about it, it's already done, is a denial of what God's word teaches. Jeremiah prayed this in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Jeremiah, the prophet of God, "Lord, if you save me, I'll be saved. And you'll be my praise for having accomplished my salvation." So David prays, "Save me, O God. By thy name, judge me by thy strength." Do you have a need right now? I'm not talking about later on this afternoon or next week or next year or yesterday. I'm talking about right now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You see, the truth is, the only time every person is saved is right now. Just like you can't have any confidence in whatever experiences you've had in the past, you can't have any hope of having a future. Nothing ever got done tomorrow. And no one ever got saved. I didn't like the way I said that. No one's ever been saved tomorrow. It just doesn't work that way. Salvation is a current experience of grace in the heart. Can you join your voice with King David and with the saints of God right now? Right now, "Lord, save me." That's when we need to be saved. We need to be saved right now. Second question is, how can I be saved? Now, you ask most folks that question, they would say, well, you've got to accept Jesus Christ. You've got to make a decision. You've got to pray this prayer. You've got to do this work. You've got to be baptized. You've got to whatever. And our question would be to them, then, who does the saving exactly? Who does the saving? Who gets all the glory for my salvation? Are you suggesting that God wants everybody to be saved, and that Christ died for everybody to be saved, and that God has made an offer of salvation, and that offer is made effectual by... Well, that's not what David said. David said, save me by thy name. By thy name. Don't save me by my sincerity. Don't save me by my prayers. Don't save me by my works. Don't save me by anything that I do. Don't save me by my free will. Don't save me by my commitment. Don't save me by my experience. Don't save me by my feelings. If you've experienced the grace of God, you know that as a believer, there are times when you don't feel saved. But you know what? You also know that before God saved you, you didn't feel lost. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. My only warrant is the word of God. None else is worth believing. Now, don't save me according to my feelings, Lord. Don't save me by my experiences. Don't save me by my accomplishments. But Lord, I've done many wonderful works in thy name. Don't save me by that. Don't save me by my sufferings. There are people who think, well, you know, salvation by suffering. If you just suffer enough, God will take that into consideration, and he'll credit you with that suffering, and you'll be saved. But don't save me by my sufferings. I don't care how much a person suffered. I mean, I do care, but it's not going to make a difference in your salvation. Don't save me by my knowledge. Oh, but I've read all the Puritans, and I know the Bible, and I've studied the Greek and the Hebrew, and I've been to seminary, and, you know, save me by my... Oh, no, Lord. Don't save me by my knowledge. I don't know anything. Except that I'm a sinner. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope of salvation that I have. And what I know about that is very limited. Very limited. Well, someone says, well, save me by my faith. Oh, don't save me by my faith. You see, it's not faith that saves. It's the object of our faith that saves. David says, save me by thy name. By thy name. But what is that a reference to? Well, it's a reference to reputation. Your name is your reputation. I had a young man do some work for me several years ago, and he had just received a business from his father, who had built this business up, and he was doing some work for me, and he told me, he said, my father's advice to me was that, son, it's taken me a whole lifetime to build the reputation for this company, and you can ruin it in one day. We've got a good name. We've got a good name. Now, that's a rare thing today. Everybody's more concerned about profit than they are with their name, with their reputation. Might God give the believers the scripture says, let your yea be nay and your nay, your yea be yea and your nay be nay. In other words, you answer a question with yes or no, for anything else comes from evil. In other words, if you have to confirm your yes or your no by swearing by your mother's grave or swearing by God or swearing by something else, that comes from evil. A person with a good name, you can believe them when they say yes or when they say no. They've got a good name. They've got a reputation. They're faithful to their name. We had some work done on one of our vehicles this week. Got the bill, paid the bill, got home, popped the hood, and half the things that they charged me for, they didn't do. Now, I didn't know anything about this company. We were stranded and had to have the work done, so didn't know anything about it. But I know that name now. You want to know who that name is? I'll tell you. Stay away from them. They're not trustworthy. They're not reliable. They're liars and they're thieves. But that's how we judge a person's name, isn't it? We bought something on Craigslist some time ago and got it home and found out it wasn't all that the person who sold it to us said it was going to be. And Trisha was the one that went and got it. And she said, well, you know, in the front yard, there was a Jesus sign. I said, that should have been your first warning. Somebody tells you I'm a good Christian, run. Run. They're using someone else's name to try to convince you that they can be trusted. They're hiding behind that name. So when David says, save me by thy name, save me by the reputation of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is his name? Well, it starts out with Jesus, doesn't it? You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. You see, this covenant, it's kind of like when you buy a house. You got to sign your name 100 times on all those pages, don't you? And then you're held to the contract. And your name's, and you don't live up to your end of the bargain, is that your signature? There's your name right there. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he struck hands with God the Father in the covenant of grace before the world began, put his name on that covenant. And he said, just like Judah said to his father, when his father didn't want Benjamin to go back to Egypt, Judah said, I'll be his surety. And if I don't bring him back, I'll bear the blame. I'll bear the blame. My name's on the contract. Hold me responsible. I'm faithful to what I say I will do. And God the Father, God the Son told God the Father, I'll save my bride. Those that you chose for me, I'm going to go redeem them. I'm going to purchase them unto myself. His name is on the contract. And David's saying, save me by thy name. Don't save me by anything else. How are we to be saved? We're not to be saved by something that we do, a decision we make, a prayer we pray, a work we perform, an experience we have. We're not to be saved by that. We're to be saved by thy name. His name shall be called Wonderful. Isn't that what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. He said that his name shall be called Wonderful. Now we use that word wonderful very loosely, don't we? But when it's applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only one that's full of wonder. He's full of wonder. He fits that name perfectly. People blaspheme God when they call him awesome. He's not awesome. He's awful. And the scripture calls him awful. He's full of awe. His name shall be called Wonderful. That's his name, and he's good for his name. He's wonderful to save. He's wonderful to keep us from falling. He is the wonder of God, the fullness of the God bodily, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. That's his name. That's his name. You know, the world is full of therapists. Our nation, you know, we're the most prosperous and most unhappy and the most discontent people probably on the face of the earth. And everybody's got a therapist and everybody's on drugs and doing this and doing, you know. His name is Wonderful Counselor. Go to him. There's not a question you have that he won't answer. There's not a need you have that he won't meet. That's his name. And he's good for his name. The mighty God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Oh, he's all powerful. He's sovereign. There's nothing he... Oh, you remember when Sarah laughed when she heard that she was going to be with child at 90 years old? You'd laugh too. 90 years old. You remember what God said to Abraham? I'll tell you what God... Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? No. No. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. He's all powerful. The Sovereign God, the Everlasting Father. Do I thought he was the Son? Yeah. And Philip asked him, he said, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. What did the Lord say? Oh, Philip, have I been with you so long that you don't know by now that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and the Father are one? Everything that you can ever know about God the Father, we learn in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. Complete in him. So that he that does the sanctifying and they that are sanctified are all as one, whereby he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. He's the everlasting Father. Never had a beginning, never had an end. And God's people have been in him from eternity past. And they are secure in him. That's why the Lord said, no one can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, and no one can pluck you out of my hand. You can't pluck yourself out of his hand. That's how almighty he is. That's how powerful he is. That means that you can't sin yourself out of the gospel. And the unbeliever who only has one nature hears talk like that, and they say, you can't tell people that. You're giving them a license to sin. You're excusing men's sin. You're giving them, no. It's the love of God that constraineth us to realize that he loves me so much that I can't send myself out of him. If there's anything that makes me not want to sin, it's that. It's that. The strength of sin is the law. You put me under the law in order to curb my behavior, in order to make me obedient and live by the law. And the strength of my sin is the law. Just tell me not to do something, that's what I want to do. But tell me how much he loves me and what he's done for me and how he has successfully put away my sins once and for all by the sacrifice of himself, never to be brought up again. Never. The only thing that makes me not want to sin. The Prince of Peace. Know what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6? He should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of God that passes understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The only way I'm going to experience God's peace. Everybody wants the peace of God. But nobody's interested in peace with God. They think they already have that by something they've done. David said, save me by thy name. Save me by thy name. Get that? By thy name. Use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is perfect, to save me. Don't save me by anything else. How am I going to be saved? I'm going to be saved by his name. His name's a good name. He's got a perfect reputation. We try to keep our name good, Sometimes we fail and we have to apologize for those failures and try to make things right. He's never failed. He's never had to apologize. He's never lived up to his, he's never not lived up to his name. He's got a perfect reputation. He's a name that you can trust. Take everything to him. Everything. And then David says, notice in verse 1, he says, judge me by thy strength. How am I going to be saved? Only if God judges me by my strength. Do you want to be judged by anything that you've done? Anything. Only a believer is going to shake their head no to that question. The unbeliever is going to say, well, you know, I've done some good things. I've done some good things. There was times when I've really been sincere in my prayers, and God judged me by that, I'll be okay. No, you won't. You'll go to hell for it. You'll go to hell for the most sincere prayer that you've ever prayed. When God gave Moses the instruments of worship, he told Aaron that you've got to put on your mitre holiness to the Lord, for Aaron, who was the priest and a picture of Christ, had to go in and bear the iniquity of the holy things. Now, you and I are here today worshiping God. This is a holy thing. And yet, in every one of our hearts, there's iniquity. And you and I are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ to bear the iniquity of our holy things in order for them to be acceptable to God. You don't want God to judge you by anything you've done, by anything you are. David said, save me. When do I need to be saved? I need to be saved right now. How am I going to be saved? Save me by thy name and save me by thy strength. I have no strength. I have no ability to save myself. Man at his very best state is altogether vanity. The best thing that you and I have ever done is sinful in the sight of a holy God. Save me by thy strength. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the strong right arm of God. He's the one who came in the power of the Spirit of God in order to bear on in his body. He bore on his shoulders the full weight of all the sins of all of God's people. David said, save me by that. I can't bear one of my sins, but he bore all my sins and all the sins of all of God's people. He's the strong man. He's the strong man. Save me by his strength. You and I have no strength. We looked Wednesday night at Psalm 53. Psalm 53 is almost, except for one slight variation in verse 5, I think, identical to Psalm 14. And it's also the psalm that Paul quoted from in Romans chapter 3 when he's making this declaration of our sinfulness before God. Why would God put the same psalm in the scriptures twice and then quote it in the New Testament? Because what's being said in Psalm 53 is so important, and it's something that the unbeliever doesn't believe. They don't believe it. What is it? Look at Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Now, Peter was being foolish when he didn't listen to what the Lord said, didn't he? And said, not me. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Corrupt are they, and they have done abominable iniquity. This is what Paul quotes this psalm in Romans chapter 3, because in Romans chapter 1, he's exposing the sins of the Gentiles. And then the Jews are agreeing with Paul. Amen, Paul. Give it to those sinful Gentiles. And then he starts out in Psalm 2 and chapter 2 of Romans. He said, you that judge another doing the very same things. Don't you know that whether you're religious and moral and outwardly respectable, or whether you're the opposite of that, indulging yourselves in all the pleasures of this world, that you have nothing but sin. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God. In Genesis chapter 6, the scripture says that God looked down from heaven and looked into the hearts of man, and he saw that every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts were only evil, and that continually. Now that's God's estimation. When we call someone good, we're just comparing one person to another, or comparing, you know, we say having a good name. That's important to have a good name. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God." And here the Lord says, "There's none that doeth good. None that doeth good." Not according to God's standards of goodness. So when David prays to be saved, and that's why, you don't pray any other prayer. Pray this prayer. Pray this prayer. And if God's pleased to save you, you'll be praying other things too, won't you? But oh, pray it often. Pray it daily. Lord, save me. I can't live off of yesterday. I need to be saved right now. I can't rely upon anything in the future. And I need to be saved by thy name, for thy reputation is perfect. And I need to be saved by thy strength. For I have no strength. I have no strength to bear the iniquity of my sin. David said in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God be for you, who can be against you? Lord, you're my only strength. You're the only one that can bear my sin. You're the only one who had the strength of faith and the strength of commitment to present yourself before God and be pleasing in his sight. Lord, save me by thy name and save me by thy strength." So there's the answer to the second question. When are we to be saved? Right now. How are we to be saved? By his name and by his strength. And what do we need to be saved from? Saved from what? Well, first and foremost, you need to be saved from hell. The unbeliever does not believe themselves to be hell deserving. They don't. They believe that God's going to take everything into consideration, and only people that go to hell are the really, really bad people, and I'm at least above average. And the child of God knows, Lord, you've got to save me from hell. You've got to save me from the wrath that is to come. You've got to save me from the penalty of sin. The best thing that I've ever done in my life is hell deserving. And if, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm you save me, Jeremiah said, I'll be saved. But if you don't save me, I will go to hell. And I'll deserve it. I will deserve it. So that's the first thing we need to be saved from. I was talking to my neighbor some time ago, and he mocked what I do. And he said, "Well, you're out to save the world." And I thought, oh, you have no understanding of your need to be saved. No understanding. Look, go back with me to Psalm 53 again. There's a verse here that I want you to see, verse 5. Psalm 53, verse 5. "There were they in great fear where no fear was." Now, what does that mean? Now, he's talking about, you read this whole psalm, and he's talking about the judgment of God. God scatters their bones. God pours out his wrath on the unbeliever. And now, for the first time in their life, now they have a fear of God. There is great fear when the wrath of God is poured out on the unbeliever, where there was no fear. They have no fear of God. Why should I fear God? God wouldn't send somebody like me to hell.
God loves everybody, right?
God's just a doting grandfather. He's going to overlook all my failures, and he's going to take into consideration the good things that I've done. No, he's not. No, he's not. This is what we have to be saved from. And we're only going to be saved by his name. He's the only one with a perfect reputation, and only by his strength. We need to be saved from ourselves, don't we? And only the child of God understands this. Oh, Lord, I can't get out of my own way. I'm my own worst enemy. Lord, save me. I know more about my sinful desires than anybody else's. And you know more about your sinful desires than anybody else's. And you know that you need to be saved. If God takes his hand off of you, there's nothing you won't do. Lord, save me from myself. Don't let me have my way. Thy will be done on earth as even as it is in heaven. Isn't that what the Lord taught us to pray? Lord, I need your will to be done, not my will. I will all the wrong things. Lord, I need to be saved from myself. Restrain my flesh. Lead me not into temptation. I'm so full of unbelief, and that's the cause of all my sin. Lord, save me from my unbelief, that's easily besetting sin that's ever with me, and my sin that's ever before me. Save me. Save me from sin, not just the penalty of sin, but the consequences of sin. You know what? The whole world, you know, you go to a therapist. The therapist will tell you, well, you know, it wasn't really your fault. And, you know, I'm okay, you're okay. And they'll massage your ego and tell you, you know, how wonderful things are and try to. They're lying to you. The reason why people feel guilty, the reason why people are ashamed, the reason why they're filled with guilt and fear is because of sin. It's because of sin. And sin is what causes all those bad feelings in your life and in my life. Lord, I need to be saved from this. And you're the only one that can do it. Therapy's not going to do it. Psychotropic drugs are not going to do it. The Lord's the counselor. He's the only one that can do it. The only one. Lord, I need to be saved from all these feelings that I bring into my life as a result of my sin. They're debilitating. My sin is ever before me. Wash me thoroughly from my sin. Cleanse me from my iniquity. And I need to be saved from Satan. He really is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he really is the accuser of the brethren. And I have no power against him. But brethren, here's the good news. He has no power against God. None. The devil's God's devil. And he will control him and use him and limit him. He's got him on a leash. Lord, save me. You think Daniel was praying in that den that night? All night with lions walking around. Save me, Lord. Save me. I bet he prayed that prayer 1,000 times that night. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's got great power. You can't resist him, and I can't resist him. Lord, save me. The Lord said to Peter, Satan has asked to sift thee like wheat. But I've prayed for you. Be of good cheer. When you're converted, teach the brethren. Encourage them. From your experience of falling, you'll have more compassion and more ability to encourage the brethren because of your own failures. Isn't that the way it is? That's why I like being around God's people. They're not pretentious. They're not acting self-righteous or trying to be holier than thou. They know what they are. They're not looking down their self-righteous nose at anybody else. Save me now. Save me by thy name, and judge me by thy strength, and save me from the wrath that is to come. Save me from my sin. Save me from myself. Save me from Satan. Lord, save me. Save me. I've got to be saved. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you've given our brother David these words to speak and to record in thy word. And, oh, Lord, how we pray that your Holy Spirit would burn them into our hearts. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Tom. Number 318. Let's stand together. 318.
Thine is.